B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
610-632-0975. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, a Beasley Media Group station broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. And the reason why we're talking about Ben Simmons, I had this thought last night after the Sixers won, after Ben Simmons had a great game, 16 points, 17 assists, and 13 rebounds. And I talked about the tweet earlier that I got where the guy said, okay, but he still didn't take a jump shot. And as Pat Egan said, well, that guy's just never going to be happy. Like, come on. Like, the guy just gave an incredible triple-double for you, 17 assists, and you're upset that he didn't take a jump shot. Last night was not the night to complain. But in just over 24 hours, Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons played very well for their teams to win. Carson Wentz and Ben Simmons, in my opinion, are the two most scrutinized athletes in Philadelphia right now. There is such a magnifying glass on them at all times from a lot of fans. The people down the middle, right? They waver back and forth all the time. Then there's also people on the far one side where it's Ben Simmons can't play, Carson Wentz can't play, and then it's the other side of completely defending them at all times. Too much at times. So my question, and the Twitter poll that's running at 975 The Fanatic, have Philadelphia sports fans, and that means you, have you done a good and fair job in how you have criticized Ben Simmons and Carson Wentz this season? Not over a span of time, not over the last two seasons, but this year, have you been fair? Or have we as a collective group been fair? It's actually gotten closer, the Twitter poll. It was at one point like 65-35. It's now 58% no, we are overly critical, and 42% yes, it's been fair and good. So people over the last hour that since I updated it last time have said that we have been more fair and good as time has gone on in this show. And I don't know that to be true. I think, yes, we should be critical of those players. I'm not saying they're hands-off players. But I think there are people that take too far extremes. I try not to. I admit that I defend Carson and defend Ben more than I criticize them. But I know that Carson Wentz has a fumbling problem. I know that Ben is not aggressive. And I am living with it and hoping that these improve. I think pocket presence can be something that you can improve on. Interception problems, like a guy in Tampa Bay, Jameis Winston, who is two interceptions away from reaching the 30-30 club. He's got 31 touchdown passes, 28 interceptions this year. That's something that you can't just fix. He's got a problem throwing interceptions. Carson Wentz doesn't have that problem. He's got a fumbling problem because I don't think his pocket presence is all that great right now. And I think he's still trying to learn how to play. Keep in mind, the last two seasons, he's had season-ending injuries. One with four games to go, one with what, like four or five? So he still has time to learn, and he's going to be here because he just signed that lucrative contract. So get used to him being here. But people saying, panicking in the second quarter of games, and I go to Pat Egan for this because Pat Egan's doing the green zone with Tyrone Johnson. They're talking about the game live during the game, and I suggest you to listen to it because it's a lot of fun. Pat, how many times have you heard this year put in Josh McCown in the second quarter?
Half the games?
Yes.
Almost, at least. I mean, coming to mind, yeah, about half
the
games.
And I get it. It's one or two morons.
And that's the thing, though, but they stick out, right? Like, the guys that have the stupidest point are always the loudest because you go, how in the world do you think this is his fault? And it's going to be solved by Josh McCown? Well, because... Your backup quarterback 2 years ago got on a magical run. Oh, by the way, look how he's done in Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's not playing. So that's what I mean. It's okay. We should be critical of these players, but to panic in the second quarter of a game and say put Josh McCown in is absolutely ridiculous. And you see it on Twitter. You hear it during the green zone. You hear it during the week with Mark Farzetta and Trey, with Anthony during the midday, with Mike, with anybody that's on at night. You hear it. Every single week, somebody says something crazy like that, and it's always a different name. It's not the same person that calls in. It's always somebody different saying stuff like that. That is way too far. That is overly critical. And Ben Simmons saying they're never going to win together, to me, is overly critical. It's your opinion, and that's fair. You can have that opinion. Last year, doubt crept into my mind with Ben Simmons. It happened. I will be open to that. Doubt crept into my mind with Ben Simmons. I remember leaving Xfinity Live talking to Pat Egan. Pat, you might not even remember this.
I was probably
drunk. I was the one who was drinking. You probably don't remember this because you just tuned me out, but I got you Qdoba because you were my Uber driver that
night. That's all I heard was Qdoba, and I was locked in.
We were walking to Pat's car, and I was like, I'll be honest, I'm losing hope on Ben. And listen, that was the alcohol talking. I was like, I'm losing hope.
No, but I'll defend you in this. That was a really bad game by him. Bad game by the team in general, but it was an overall, that was a game where you go, oh my God, they're going to lose to Toronto again.
Yeah, and he's never going to figure this out, but he had a great series against the Nets, and then he ends up having a very good series against the Toronto Raptors. And all the people that say, well, he's a liability in the half-court game, and come playoff time, it's half-court basketball. Well, they did pretty well in the playoffs last year, and they were one crazy shot away from potentially getting to the Eastern Conference Finals if they win in overtime. So, to me, we have to be critical, but at the same time, we can't be overly critical. And then at the same time, we can't be so defensive to the point where it's like, all right, you gotta crush on the guy. Like, I love Ben and I love Carson, but I see their flaws. Everybody sees their flaws. We just have to be fair with it. And I don't think we have been fair this season. Some people are. Some people are, but not everyone. Let's go to Sean in West Stafford. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Sean.
Hey, yeah, I'm on the side. One thing I always hate is when, like, radio hosts and, like, players and coaches always say how Philadelphia fans are, like, the smartest fans. And I just think it's just nonsense, and it also, like, just gasses them up to believe that, like, their crappy opinions are just, like, correct.
Well, no,
like,
Sean, I'm going to stop you right there. Philadelphia is a very smart fan base. It's
not.
No, they are, Sean. There's a vocal minority.
They're hypersensitive, and they want lunch pail guys that are terrible, and they treat their stars like crap. They do it to Ben Simmons, to Carson Wentz. To
because they have high expectations for these guys, and maybe
they have unrealistic expectations. Of
Sean,
these guys.
You can't be slandering Philadelphia today on Christmas Eve.
Oh, okay, all right, whatever. It doesn't matter. But the point is that Ben Simmons is so unfairly criticized, and people think that he's going to ever take a jump shot. He's not. Get over it. They want to trade him for Devin Booker, but if Devin Booker came in here, then they would complain that he hogs the ball. He takes too many shots.
Yeah, and he doesn't play defense. As good of defense, like, and he doesn't assist. Like, I hear you, Sean.
But it's not you. I know that your callers are Philly fans, so you don't want to insult them. I will for you. They're largely terrible. They don't know what they're looking at. And when it comes, like, we can't even give, I don't listen to sports radio talk as much as a lot of people, but every time I turn it on, win or loss, doesn't matter when it is, it could be the middle of the summer, and basketball's not even being played, we're criticizing Ben Simmons. How is that fair?
It's not fair, Sean, and, enjoy your day. He said Philadelphia fan, so he's not a Philadelphia fan. Appreciate him calling. It's not fair. But that doesn't make them a dumb fan base. That doesn't make Philadelphia a dumb fan base. It's a vocal minority of nitwits that think Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz. Right? My own father. I'll call him out.
No.
Yes.
Flesh and blood.
Like, I looked up to the man growing up. I respect my own father. But we were watching an Eagles game earlier this year before I came in to do post game. I come in at halftime, hang out at the green zone. And he goes, you know what? That's it. They should have kept Foles.
What? And I'm like, idiot.
I'm like, Dad, okay. I'm done. I'm going to the green zone early. I'm out. You sit on that couch. All right. You know what? Get off my couch. Sit on that floor.
You can tell a lot about a person with their take on Carson Wentz versus Nick Foles.
Yeah, come on. It's a vocal minority. What is ridiculous, and to the caller, Sean, to his point, it doesn't help that a guy who I think does a very good job, and I know I'm gonna catch some heat for it, I think Colin Cowherd is great at his job. And why is he great at his job? Because you react constantly. I hate Skip Bayless. You react to him. You react to him. You react to Stephen A. You react to all these guys. The loudmouths in the industry. That, quite frankly, I respect. Even though Skip sold his soul. So I don't really respect him. But Colin Cowherd, last week, said, Philadelphia, I thought they were a smart fan base, but everybody wanted Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. That's not true, dude. If you polled everybody in Philadelphia, you'd get 5% people wanting to keep Nick Foles. And I guarantee you half of them didn't watch all the Eagles season until the Super Bowl. So, no, Philadelphia's not a dumb fan base. That's wrong of you to say. You're wrong. I agree with you that Ben Simmons, I think, at times is unfairly criticized. Same with Carson. It's what I've been doing the show off of. But Philadelphia is also a smart fan base, and Philadelphia is also the most passionate fan base that wants their teams to win. We were starving of winning. I'm fortunate. I'm 26, and I've seen two championships. I know a lot of people who were, what, 46? Trying to do the math quickly off my head. That also have seen two championships going back to 83. It was a long drought before we saw championships in Philadelphia. And now we got that taste again. It's like when a dog tastes a human food for the first time. Now that dog's begging. Having that issue at home. We got the taste of winning. And now we want more. And we have expectations for guys like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and Carson Wentz. And you look at the Flyers, Claude Giroux, Carter Hart. We're having expectations for those guys. Morgan Frost, Nolan Patrick, who was drafted high. You have expectations for these guys, for these teams. Bryce Harper. A lot of people thought the Phillies were going to win the World Series last year just because they signed Bryce Harper.
They didn't?
They didn't win the World Series. Now, they didn't make the playoffs either. But people still think Gabe Kapler's a good coach.
To add on to the caller's point about the fact that we're not a smart fan base, I think a lot of times, too, like, we'll come on as hosts and we'll defend these guys. We'll defend Ben Simmons. We'll defend Carson Wentz. And if you're out there listening and you agree, you might not be inclined to call up. Now, we do get a lot of callers who will call up and they will agree with us. But a lot of times it's the people that disagree because they want to tell us why they disagree. And those are the people that call up. So if you're listening out there and all you hear are callers just bashing Ben Simmons or Carson Wentz, it's because the people that actually agree, they're not inclined to call up because they go, well, I don't know what I can add to this
exactly.
conversation. Now, by the way, and once again, we appreciate all callers. And I do appreciate the people that do call up and agree with us and disagree.
Yeah, but don't be coming at Philadelphia on Christmas Eve. Well, man, especially when you're wrong.
As a philosopher once said, this is Philadelphia. We fight.
Wow. What's that guy doing? Is he still at UCLA?
I think he's coaching the Bourbon Bowl.
He's still out there? All right. The toad. All right. Take it away, Pat.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
75 The Fanatic.
All right, 12 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Goldenberg's Peanut Chews. Delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized pieces loaded with crunchy peanuts. We will give away a tub of peanut chews today. Now, Pat, you're gonna pick the winner today of the peanut chews. I know.
That's a lot of pressure on me.
Because I'm the one who normally gets in Anthony's ear, and I say, give him the chews. And then when we pick the winner, I then tell you whenever you're helping out, I say, Pat, this is the guy. You ready? And you get fired up because you know.
How could I not?
Holiday spirit. Somebody's getting some peanut chews. It's a good weekend to have candy, right?
Family's coming over.
So we're going to give away tub of peanut chews in the 12 o'clock hour to the best caller, and it'll be deemed by Pat Egan.
With the family coming over to your place, I feel like you need a tub of peanut chews.
I could probably make a few phone calls to get that. Oh, yeah. So we'll get back to the phones in a second. So this is the first time I'm hosting anything, right? Like, that isn't friendly. Like, I did New Year's last year at my house. I your invite might have gotten lost in the mail. But I did New Year's last year, but that's like friends. This is the first time I'm hosting something. I got my parents coming. I got the wife's parents coming. I got my sister and brother-in-law coming. And then I got her sister and husband and child coming. So we got a full house. No neighbors. Just family. And we're making a turkey. We're doing it. We're doing the whole thing. I'm going hard here. I'll probably screw something up. House will probably burn down. Somebody's going to cry over their present. They're not going to like their present. But I figured this all out like a week ago that we were doing this. We had no plans. Nobody had any plans because of the wedding, right? That took over everybody's lives. We had a lot of planning to do. Ours the most, but we're hosting, gratefully. So last night, I was like, oh, man, I'm working a double today because, in case people don't know, I'm also producing for Mike today. And then I got Christmas Eve stuff at my sister's house. And then I got midnight mass at 10 p.m. I don't know if that makes sense, but it's at 10 p.m. mass tonight.
It's for the early bird special.
Yes. I have no time to do anything today. I've been here since 8:30 in the morning. So I've been here all day. I had no time. So yesterday I'm cleaning the house. We did the Acme run. We did the presents. We bought the presents. And, I wanted to help the elves out, so I decided to
wrap. We appreciate that.
I decided to wrap mine. Yes. You're close to them.
Vertically challenged.
So I wanted to help out the elves with the wrapping. I am by far the worst rapper in the world. I could spit lines, but when it comes to Christmas presents, yeah. Like, to the point where if I posted a picture of one of the presents I wrapped on Twitter last night, I'd rather get completely crushed and killed for it, or the trolls who normally troll me on Twitter would probably feel so bad that they'll give me a week off. They'll say, you know what? We're gonna give this Chunas a week off. He's not going to get trolled this way. Happy holidays, Andrew. Feel bad for you. What doesn't help is we had so much to buy between presents and food and alcohol, you name it. I don't have tape. I didn't have any masking tape. So not only are they poorly wrapped, I used duct tape to wrap the presents with.
Oh, I love that. I'm with you. I'm not good and I don't even try.
So they look hideous. Now, do people care about that stuff?
I personally don't. I know my mother really does, and I've gone the opposite. So I'm like you, where I actually will intentionally just butcher the wrap job because my feeling is you're just going to unwrap it.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't really matter. I for a while there I was wrapping stuff in tinfoil because I felt like it was a dual gift.
That's good.
Yeah. Take the tinfoil and then you could use it as wrap some stuff up. Take it to go. But then I became an adult and realized how expensive tinfoil is.
Yes.
And I stopped doing that.
Well, I'm actually kind of upset that I use duct tape because that stuff comes in handy. But like to the point where there's one round gift that I just sort of rolled into the wrapping paper and then I just rolled the tape around it like four or five times. Like that's my problem. That's my issue. So
if your biggest issue though is your tape job, then you had a pretty good Christmas.
We'll see. I mean, we haven't cooked yet.
Time will tell.
The house could still burn. Let's go to Bill in Franksville. Bill, you're a 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, Bill?
Nothing much. Just the whole thing with Simmons, I know it's a huge debate. You know, my problem is, I guess I'm considered a realist. And, I want to win a championship. And when guys, a couple callers ago say we're morons and, they call him phenomenal. That's where I go crazy. Now, Ben's very good. He's not a superstar, and I don't think he's great. Like you said, granted, he had a game against Golden State. He might have had one against the Celtics even after scoring 0 points. But majority of the time, he does not do well against good teams, and that's a fact. And the thing is, he's not going to play against the Detroit and the OKCs. And Knicks.
Yeah, come playoff time. Yeah, I hear you.
And it's not going
to
happen.
And that's when we had to see him take that next step. Now, he did play well in the playoffs last year against the Nets, except one game against the Raptors. He played well in the playoffs last year. Did he score 30 points? No, he didn't. But guys like Joel Embiid, J.J. Redick, Tobias Harris, those were the guys that Jimmy Butler, those were the guys that put up the points. But Ben Simmons played well.
Yeah, I guess my problem is, number one, like I said, there's been no development. And number two, he's really, for a superstar, a great transitional type, transcendent player, his average is going down. Number two, it's almost insulting, and I'm not saying he's dumb, My problem is, I want to say, unfundamental. There's so many times where you teach kids who are 8 years old not to drive and turn your back to
yes,
death.
Yes, yes, and he does that. It kills me, Bill. It kills me. I hear you.
When you extend for a layup, when you do layup drills, you lean in. He goes off the wrong foot consistently because he doesn't want to get blocked or he doesn't want to get fouled. And he does so many things that are so unfundamental. Even his jump shot, like his turnaround. He turns around the wrong way, goes off the wrong foot. His little jump, it's like he's never played the game. It just so happens that he's, like you said, he's 6'10". He is athletic.
Yeah, and he was able to get to where he is in college
and high school, but it's not good in the NBA.
Yeah, I hear you, Bill. Bill, happy holidays, man. Happy holidays. Now, one thing I do want to point out. He said, you know, his point total average has gone down this year, and it has. He averaged 15.8 his rookie year, 16.9 last year. He's only at 14.4 this year. One game shouldn't make that much of a difference, but remember, he left early against the Magic, and I think he, played a minute, so that's going to count toward it. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just stating out the fact. The other thing is, 2 years ago, his rookie season, it was Ben and Joel. J.J. Redick was there, but it was Ben and Joel and then Bellinelli and Ilyasova, Robert Covington, Dario Saric, right? T.J. McConnell was getting run. Jared Bayless was still on the roster, even though he didn't do anything. Last year, the point total goes up, but you also have Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris. This year, look at all the scoring options you have on the team this season. It's not just his point total that's gone down this year. Joel Embiid's season average has gone down. Why? Because you also have Josh Richardson. You also have Tobias Harris. You also have Al Horford. You got Mike Scott coming off the bench who can shoot the three. James Ennis who can hit the occasional three come off the bench. Furkan who they're trying to grow into a Obama, as Brett says. You know, Matisse Thybulle, when he goes out there, he gets some open looks. It's not just Ben and Joel this year. And yes, I would like to see Ben averaging 16 or 17 points per game. 16.9 last year. That's a very good number for Ben. Finished with 16 last night, 17 assists, 13 rebounds. That's a good number. I would like him to be 16, 17 instead of 14.4. I would love to see it go up 2 or 3 points a game. That also means he got to the foul line a few times. That means that he made a few foul shots, right? Teams are getting into foul trouble. I would love to see that number go up. But there are other options now on the team around him that you should understand why the number has gone down. It's one thing to just look at numbers. It's the other thing that I understand, as Mike Mussinelli says, go second level. You got to understand there are more options on the team now. Not giving him an excuse. He should be more aggressive. We haven't seen him be more aggressive, except for occasional nights, which we had a caller bring that up earlier. We had a guy who tweeted in earlier. He said, yeah, last night was great. I was excited for it. But what about the last three games where he was invisible? I hear you. I totally get it. But, listen, there's other options out there. And he's also averaging more assists this year so far than any other year. 8.2 his rookie year. 7.7 last year. He's at 8.5 this year. The assist total has gone up. I know you want Ben to score. I want Ben to score. I want Ben to be aggressive. But it's also helping the other guys out. But with him being more aggressive, as I said earlier, if he just attacks more, that will then make more guys close in on him in the lane. And then there will be even more open looks for guys. For Tobias, for Matisse, for Furkan Korkmaz, for Josh Richardson. If he attacks more, it's more open looks. Let's go to Seth in Lansdale. Seth, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I got you, Seth. What's up?
So, first of all, happy holidays, guys. How are you doing?
You too, Seth.
I just came from the DMV earlier today, getting my real ID, Pennsylvania certified. Got to tell you, you know, we got a lot of reason to be happy, you know. Being there this morning made me a little sad, but the Sixers make me happy because,
good.
You know, we're doing well. We're doing well. We got the Bucks on Christmas, so that's going to be a great game. But I hear a lot of people mad, and this goes to your poll. A lot of people are mad and negative. That obviously doesn't indicate the average Sixers fan or the average Philly fan. These are just the people who have something to say. But about that poll, I think the criticism is fair as far as intensity. But as far as what they're saying, I don't think people talk about Ben Simmons' attitude. I really don't. I don't think people consider why he's not aggressive.
Okay, all right. I want to ask you something, Seth, because you brought it up—the attitude thing. Go deeper into the attitude thing. You're going to be sports psychologist here for the next minute.
Oh yeah.
What do you mean by his attitude? Because he is from Australia, and everyone talks about him being Aussie cool. Like it's different out there. Like, what do you want to see? Do you want to see him dunk and then yell? Because he does do that.
No, that just cracks me up because he's always dunking on nobody and yelling. That's just pretty funny to me. What I see is when players get in scuffles and they yell at the ref or they're angry, if you actually watch his body language when he's doing that stuff, you watch what he's saying, he seems like that guy in the gym who thinks he's too good to be there. And in a lot of ways, I kind of agree. He is really good. You know what I mean? He should have that chip on his shoulder. But it's not translating, and I feel like the fact that he's not listening to his coach, when his coach goes to public and says, I'm challenging you to shoot a three, that plus the way he acts when we get down big in these big games or we're not performing, the way his body language looks and the way he doesn't respond, it makes me think that there needs to be an attitude change. And I'm not that sad about it. I think there will be. But I just think we should talk about him more. I think we should kind of push him, you know, from the media and fan perspective. Like, we see it. We see through that whatever you got going, we know your potential. Do it, bro. Bring us that ring.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing, Seth, is the fact that we see what he can be. Right? Like, it's not like he's this NBA draft bust. Like, he is putting up good numbers. Hold on, Seth. I'm going to put you on hold because you had a tough day. You went to the DMV earlier today. You know, you sound exhausted. You're breathing heavily in the call. So, Pat Egan wants you to win the peanut chews. All right? So, hang tight. We're going to get you the chews. Of course, I mean, that's going to make anybody's holiday. And, of course, we give away the peanut chews every 12 o'clock hour. And, that's from Goldenberg's Peanut Chews, serving fans delicious, chewy, chocolatey, bite-sized peanuts loaded with crunchy peanuts. Do that every 12 o'clock hour. We see how good Ben Simmons can be. He's not like Andrew Bynum, who his body's falling apart. It's not like Greg Oden, whose body is falling apart, and that's why he ends up becoming a bust. And Andrew Bynum wants to do flamingo dancing and bowling and you name it. Ben Simmons, he's working, right? He's working hard. He's in the gym. He's doing all that stuff. Ben Simmons is also putting up decent numbers. Is he averaging 30 a game? No. But in the month of September, when it's 16.5 points per game, 8.7 assists per game, and 7 rebounds per game, that's pretty damn good. 16, basically 9-7, that's pretty good. We'll take that. I love that. Do it every single night. Now, there's a couple clunkers in there. 7 points against Boston, 7 against Denver. 2 good teams, as somebody brought up. It seems like he plays poorly against good teams. They also won those games, so we should be happy. We see the potential in Ben Simmons. And we all say, come on, bro. As Seth just said, come on, bro, just go. Go to the lane. That is his own mentality on the court. He needs to work on that. And maybe it is a coaching thing. I don't know. But he's right. Brett Brown did say, he challenged him, take a three a game. We haven't seen it. Last time he took a three was on the 10th against the Nuggets when he missed. They've played, it looks like, 8 or 9 games since then. And he hasn't taken one since.
And I believe the Nuggets one was like a last second heave.
Maybe. I don't remember.
I thought it was like, you know, end of the half.
Yeah, it probably was.
He just kind of chucks it up there.
He probably was. It probably was. And you go, all right, it counts as a 3-point shot.
Yeah, because Ben Simmons is a missed threes.
No, he's shooting 40% this year, man.
Those are just stats.
That's 3-point shootout numbers right there at All-Star Weekend. But we see the potential, and we see where he could go, but he just hasn't pushed it to the next level on the court. I think he's working. Videos is one thing, but we know he's working. I mean, the guy's in great shape. The guy has improved his jump shot. He just doesn't take it, or at least the 3-point shot. He doesn't take it. We know it's there. We know the potential's there. He's just got to go to the next step. Last night was a good game for him. But now, it's one thing against the Detroit Pistons. It's another thing on the main stage, Christmas Day, against Milwaukee. If he can ball out in that game against Milwaukee, that's a good sign. Now, he's going to have a very difficult task Christmas Day. He's going to be guarding Giannis. He'll be guarding Giannis for the majority of that game. And we all know what Giannis can do. So maybe Ben finishes with just 10 points, but if he keeps Giannis to upper 20s instead of going to a 40, 50-point game,
You'll be feeling a little, you should feel good, especially if the Sixers win and Joel goes off, or Al Horford goes off, or if Tobias has another night like he had last night. Now you're feeling a little bit better. One open line, 610-632-0975. Let's go to Lou on the cell. Lou, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Hey, Lou.
Good afternoon at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to talk Ben Simmons. So, first of all, you just said, like, you had mentioned that Ben is going to have to go, is probably going to be guarding Giannis.
Yep.
I want to know how many point guards in the league have the toughest defensive assignment on the floor, are expected to score over 20, distribute the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, come on. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's why I keep telling people they need to just slow down. Like, I know I'm a basketball aficionado. I watch the sport a whole lot, and I know at times he doesn't pass the eye test. There's some things that he does where you're like, yo, man, what the heck are you doing? But at the same time, all these folks that complain, I got a friend that says that Ben Simmons is Tony Allen with assists that can pass the ball. And I'm like, look, if you want to complain, then come with a solution. Like, who do you want to trade Ben Simmons for? And then you'll hear people say, okay, trade him for Devin Booker. Why would the Phoenix Suns trade Devin Booker for Ben Simmons if he's trash?
Yeah, why would the Warriors trade like Steph Curry or Klay Thompson when they have they're two of the best 3-point shooters in the history of the league?
Absolutely. It's not happening. What you have to do is you have to figure out how to use this guy the right way. And, you know, when you read those stats off, I just think Draymond Green, man, I think he's a more athletic Draymond Green type of player. We probably got to get another shooter around, and then you put him at the power forward position and have him play point forward the same way Draymond Green does. He's most successful when he shoots from the corner. So if he's playing power forward, he's likely going to
He also brings the ball up much better. He's a better facilitator than Draymond Green. I like Draymond Green, but Ben's a better player than Draymond.
Oh, no.
Draymond Green's a good player, right? He's a good player. He's also had the benefit of being around Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson and Steph Curry all on the same team in the starting lineup at the same time.
Absolutely. So let's just say Ben will be Draymond on steroids, right? But
yes.
I mean, he's not a shooter. Like, we already know he's not a shooter, but he's very explosive going to the rim. But to me, really, honestly, if the guy could just fix his free throws, forget everything else. You see when he gets to the basket, all the way to the basket, and then he kicks the ball out? Well, that's because he doesn't want to shoot a free throw. I mean, if he got hacked and he got to the line and he's shooting 75%, all of these conversations end, I'm telling you.
Yeah, but Lou, I still want him to attack. Happy holiday, Lou. I appreciate it. I still want him to go to the free throw line. I don't care if he's shooting 60%. Obviously, I want him to be shooting 75, 80, 85, 90, 100. Obviously, I want those numbers to go up. But if he's attacking the basket, sometimes when he gets hacked, the ball's still going to go in and he got 2 points right away. Sometimes when he gets hacked 2-3 times in the first quarter, that means whatever team's big man or whoever's hacking him is already in foul trouble in the first quarter. That means the team foul is already up, and they may reach the team foul limit early. And then when anybody gets fouled, they go to the free throw line. And those other players are shooting better than 60% from the free throw line. That's what I want. I want a more aggressive Ben so stuff like that happens. And to say, oh, well, he can't shoot free throws, so he shouldn't attack anyway. No, it's wrong. He has to attack. And that's part of the criticism that I show toward Ben Simmons. He is not aggressive enough. Last night, he put up 16 points. Now, he didn't go to the free throw line once. He didn't get fouled once, but he was 8 of 14 from the field. The game against Washington, he went to the line 9 times. He's 4 of 9. New Orleans, back a few weeks ago, 10 times, 10 free throws. Like, I want that number up. I appreciate that number's up. He's averaging 5.5 free throws per game in the month of December. In November, it was only 3.4. 3.4 is not enough. But to have it at 5.5, and if that number continues to go up a little bit, that's good. That means he's being more aggressive. One open line, 610-632-0975. Let's do this for Pat. Henry in Tampa. Henry on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Happy wish you guys a Merry Christmas. And a
you
happy
as well,
New
Henry.
Year.
So, Henry, I have to call you. I love you. Great call. I go way back when I first started working middays, and you were calling other hosts that were doing the midday show. I love you. But I'm in the green zone at halftime, and I heard you say that you wanted the Eagles to lose to the Cowboys.
Yeah, I know.
I don't like that.
Only reason I said that. Only reason I know you got. I'm sorry about that. When I called the Green Zone this Sunday, I apologize to Tyrone and you. Only reason I say that, when I think negative, the Eagles win. When I think
okay, so it's strategic.
Yes, because years ago, when we on the way to the Super Bowl, I said, oh, I got this. I believe we're going to win. We're going to win. Then I end up getting disappointment. When I think negativity, they win.
All right, Henry, call every week and root for the Eagles to lose then, all right?
Let me ask you, can you give me a couple more minutes on the line?
Yeah, you got a little bit. What do you got?
Okay, I'm happy the way the Sixers and the Flyers playing. I hope they keep it up. And I want to ask you something. Like I was watching Sunday Night Football, and Tony Dungy said, during halftime, I hope the Eagles can prove everybody in the nation that we can beat the Giants. We don't lay an egg. And what Tony Dungy said, well, the Eagles had a motion game against the Cowboys, and he said they're going to end up losing to the Eagles.
That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, Henry. Don't worry. You think that because that's always good for the Eagles. So, Henry, I appreciate the call. Happy holidays. No, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. I get the emotional win and letdown game the following week. They know that they still have to win. That's the best part. They know that they have to win. If the Cowboys lose, yeah, you're in the playoffs. But how about you just go out there and win? They know they can't be like, this isn't a week six game where you beat the Cowboys week five and then week six you're playing Cincinnati, worst football team, worst team in the league, and then you have the letdown game. No, this is different. This is, hey, you know, you're still not in the playoffs. You got to win this game. So I don't believe that to be true. One open line, 610-632-0975. And don't forget, coming up at 1 o'clock, we will spin the holiday wheel, or I'll give out a name to spin the holiday wheel. The wheel will be spun at 1:10. It's been great. This holiday wheel has been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of great prizes on the midday show with Anthony. So make sure you tune in at 1 o'clock. We will announce the name for the holiday wheel. It is the final day of the holiday wheel. So two more opportunities, one with me at 1 o'clock and then with Mike Missanelli at 5 o'clock. So make sure you're listening at 1 o'clock to hear if your name is called, because you got one more day till Christmas. You may not have the prize in hand, but if you can say to somebody, a loved one, hey, I won you this prize, they're going to be pretty happy. I'm Andrew Salchunas, filling in for Anthony right here on the Midday Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5 The Fanatic.
For the holiday wheel. So in 8 minutes, that's a good name. I got a good name on here from a good town. So in 8 minutes, make sure you hear your name. And if it is you, you get a chance to spin the holiday wheel. We'll spin the wheel at 1:10 for your chance to win another great prize. We've been giving out great prizes going back to last week and even so far this week. So make sure you're listening at 1 o'clock. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Wolf on South Beach. Wolf, or in South Beach. What's up, Wolf?
How you doing today? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. How about you? How are things down south?
Just have you live streaming here and surround sound throughout the house, preparing for the holidays, driving my wife a little crazy. She wants to put the Christmas music on, but I said, I got to get my Philly taste in for today. But anyway,
I appreciate you, Wolf, and I appreciate her for allowing it.
I want to see if you could help me out with something here. Regarding the Eagles and their consistent amount of high volume of injuries, Colin Cowherd was talking about it throughout the week. We are factually the most injured NFL team. Our strength and conditioning coaches, medical staff, physical therapists basically have two jobs. The first one is to keep the players healthy and on the field. And the second one is the injured players to get them back on the field as soon as possible. They failed at both. So my question is, who's holding the medical staff and strength and conditioning coaches accountable? Who do they report to? Is it Howie? is ejected directly.
I'm sure it's Howie and Jeffrey and whoever their boss is. There's probably a boss of the medical department. I hear what you're saying, Wolf. It is crazy, and it's even more inflated because it's the big names. Like, yep. Malik Jackson got paid a lot of money. He hasn't played it down because he got hurt. Fletcher Cox is dealing with the elbow injury. Fortunately, he still played and knocked the ball loose. We saw Carson Wentz, for crying out loud, have two season-ending injuries in a row in two seasons. The corners, the starters on wide receiver, they're running Jordan Howard, who's fortunately coming back this week. Like, I get what you're saying, but I mean, what are they supposed to do? Like, if it happens in a game, it's not like they're telling them, oh, you have to fall this way instead.
It's stretching. It's building muscle tissue. It's in the gym, flexibility. They're just not doing their job. So will they be replaced in the offseason? What's your opinion on that?
We'll see, Wolf. I appreciate it. Enjoy your happy holiday.
All right. Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad. See you, Wolf. I don't know. Like, that's out of my pay grade. I'm not a physician. I'm none of that kind of stuff. If they're not stretching enough, all right, stretch more. Like, what I got to say to that?
They apparently got replaced last year, though.
Yes. Or was it 2 years ago? Maybe it was last year.
I think it was last year. So, I mean, how often do you have turnover?
No, hey, fortunately, Carson Wentz has been healthy this year. You could say that this medical department has done a fine job because they've kept Carson Wentz healthy this year. He's ready to play in his 16th regular season game. We haven't seen that since his rookie year back in 2016. That was the one thing I wanted. Well, obviously, I wanted a Super Bowl, but before the season started, I was on an online web show, and they asked me, like, what's your hot take for the Eagles this year? I said Carson Wentz is going to play all 16 games or be healthy to play all 16 games. I thought that the season would be going far better. I thought the Eagles would be like 12-4, or I thought 11-5 was my pick, and I thought week 17 they could rest their starters, including Carson Wentz, but he would have been healthy enough to play week 17. Obviously, he has to play all 16 games, but he's been healthy enough. That's a good sign. Yeah, it's crazy, the injuries that they've had. Doug Peterson, he was asked about it in his press conference before the Cowboys game. They said, hey, like, You have anything to say about the amount of injuries your team has, because your team has so many injuries? And he said, listen, we played deep into February, or we played in February 2 years ago. The next season, they play into the second round of the playoffs, and here we are again. My take on it is you have a lot of aging players. Alshon Jeffrey is an aging player. That's why he's banged up. Jason Peters gets banged up a lot because he is an aging player. Lane Johnson, not an aging player, but he played through the high ankle sprain last year. I'm sure it wasn't 100% healed this year. You have a lot of aging players. To me, knock on wood if you're near it, I'm amazed with how Malcolm Jenkins has been able to stay upright. He played every single snap last year. I don't know what his snap count is this year, but I know it's pretty high. I don't know if he's played every single snap, including special teams, this year like he did last year. But to do it at his age, that's incredible. That means he's doing something right. DeSean Jackson, we all knew, would get banged up at some point. It just happens with DeSean. He's a smaller receiver. I think it's been 4 years since he's played 16 games in a season. It just happens. Now, this year, unfortunately, was an unfortunate injury to the point where he had to have surgery, neglected to have surgery at first, and that's why he's still out. If he had surgery right away, he'd be back on the field right now. But that wasn't the case. He ends up getting hurt again, has surgery, and you hope that if the Eagles make it to the second round of the playoffs, that's when DeSean Jackson comes back and Carson Wentz finally has a deep threat again. Yeah, the injury bug, it's crazy, but I can't really tell you anything. I don't know if anyone's going to get fired. That's not my call. Kevin in Newcastle County. Kevin, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Dre. Happy belated birthday, man.
Oh,
hey,
thanks, Kev.
Hey, I was thinking about that a couple of years ago with the Sixers medical staff, where they were just falling off. And I remember under the days of Pat Croce, yeah, we had injuries, but it wasn't as much. But I want to get with dealing with Ben. Ben is a talented young man. Ben has to realize that. When I get down there early at the games, and my suite is right next to where his dad sits at, and the other suite, you know, I was yelling at that Dallas game, smoking, yo, man, just take the shot, do this, do that. Because sometimes, Drew, when he's driving the ball, he can either lay it up. It's instead of bashing it back out or whatever, you got to mentally get over this nonsense that you're scared to shoot these free throws. Just
yeah, the last egregious one that I remember seeing, and I brought this up probably in like the 10 o'clock hour earlier this morning, was against that Dallas Mavericks team. It was early in the game. They were up 6-2. Like, it was the first few minutes of the game, and he drives the lane, and he's right there. He's under the basket, and it's not like he was planted under the basket. Like, no, he was in stride under the basket and then decides to try to bounce pass it around whoever was guarding him to Tobias Harris. So he's bending his arm around, bounce passing it to Tobias, and it wasn't a good pass because of where he was, how he had to move his arm around. It kicks off of Harris's legs and it goes out of bounds.
Exactly. You know, and then it's one thing to not being selfish, but you got to take that shot. Just like the pass to Al Horford. Yeah, it was an open shot, but Ben, you had the ball. We down two. Hey, you had a smaller guy on you. Take it to the rack, man.
And you were full steam ahead too. That's the other problem. Full steam ahead.
But he has to realize that now with our Eagles, man. This is the whole thing. I'm looking for a win, but it's a division rival. And as long as that boy Barkley is upright, and then they got this young Jones, they're going to try to ruin our day. I got a lot of them stinking cowgirl fans rooting for the Giants this week, but it's not going to happen. Just give the ball to Sanders. You understand? Do what you got to do. And them other guys are catching the ball. Greg Ward, Perkins, Davis. All of these guys are not paid millionaires. They're hungry, and they're helping Carson Wentz out. And he just stay upright and do his thing, and we're going to get it done. E-I-G-L-E-S. Eagles.
Love it, Kev. Love it, Kev. All right, man. Happy holiday. I love Kevin. He's always bringing the passion. Yeah, I like it. I like that they got these young, hungry receivers that want to win, that want to play. Nelson Aguilar just wants to get paid next year, so he's done.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.